Good morning. Very excited to be here today and get another lesson done this week. And I learned a lot from this lesson, and I hope that you all learn a lot from this lesson as well. So today, we all know people, and we all know that we ourselves have faced people that are against what we believe in. We've all had people make fun of us, probably, or not go along with what we want. As teenagers, we especially know what it's like to face peer pressure. We know that, or we see that they do not want us to do what... Can I start over? That was rough. The beginning's always the worst part for me. I hate the intro. Okay. Good morning. I'm very excited to be here today, and very excited to give this lesson. I really did learn a lot from this, and hopefully you all can also learn a lot too. We all know what it's like to face someone that's against us. We all know have people that do not always agree with us on everything, and people that also do not believe in God and might make fun of us because of it. As teenagers, we often face peer pressure, and we have all our Bible classes are almost centered around peer pressure, not being of the world. And our friends try to get us to do things that are not according to God's will. Like my friends in school, they might want to cheat off me on a test, and it's really tempting sometimes to let them do that because you're friends with them and you want to help them out. But it's not right, it's not honest, and it's not what God would want me to do. So you don't do it, and they might give you a hard time. They might not like you because of it, because all their other friends would let them do it, but you won't because you're a Christian. And also, they might make fun of you because you believe in God. I think of the movie, Our God Is Not Dead. Whenever we see the professor in that movie, he makes fun of anyone that's a Christian or believes in God because he does not believe in him. And he gave that student the hardest time because he believed in God and made his life almost impossible. And so we cannot control those who go against us. We're going to face this opposition, as we see in the Bible. We do not see them have an easy life. We cannot control them, but we can control how we conduct ourselves, how we react toward the situation. And this is how we should be taught. We should not be taught to try to stop them from persecuting us, but try to see how we can best react to the situation. And that is what we will be learning about today, what we should do when we are faced with opposition. So we will look at the Bible and look at examples from how we should deal with opposition. And what better person to look at than our Savior, Jesus Christ. So please turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we will read verses 1 through 11. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" But Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat." And he said to them, "The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and as his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. So we can see here that the Pharisees are going against what Jesus was doing in both incidents. We can see that he did not, or they did not believe. They thought he was doing things that were wrong. And in both of these incidents took place on the Sabbath day. And so that to know truly why they were against what he was doing, why they were opposing him, we have to know something about the Sabbath day. And so many of us know about the Sabbath day that God made it a day of rest. God commanded the Israelites to take the seventh day as a day of rest, that no one could work on that day, including their animals or their servants or their slaves. However, God did not give very many specific things about the Sabbath day and what work actually was. So the Pharisees and the Jews made these laws on how the Sabbath is to be kept and how they could make a fence around God's law so that they would not break God's law. And these laws are what we are spoken of as the traditional laws, or the traditions of the fathers. And some of these are very hard to keep, some of them. And an example is that a tailor must put down his needle 30 minutes before the Sabbath so that he would not continue to be working on the Sabbath. And another example is that you could not write more than two letters next to each other on a piece of paper on the Sabbath. So it was very hard to keep. They made sure you did no work on the Sabbath. And as we read, we might think that, what are the disciples being accused of in verse 1? What are they doing wrong? We might think that they are stealing because they're taking this grain that isn't theirs and they're taking it and eating it. However, this is not what they're doing. The law of Moses actually commanded the people to leave the edges of their fields for the poor so that they could eat of it. So they were not stealing. They were actually taking what was rightfully theirs because they were poor and needed food. But what the Pharisees were actually accusing them of was working on the Sabbath because they were rubbing the grain in their hand so that they could take the grain and eat it. And this is why they start opposing Jesus and they say, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And so what does Jesus do in this situation? What does he do when he's faced with people that do not agree with what he says? Well, my first point is that, what does he not do that we would usually do? He does not act out towards them. He does not turn around and gossip about them. He did not act unkind toward them. He does not point out everything that they are doing wrong in their life. And even he does not do what many of us do, is he does not just go along with what they have to say so that he doesn't have to deal with their opposition. Please turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And we'll read verse 11. It says, "A fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." And an example of this that I read was, there was an 82-year-old man who was on his way to bingo one day, and whenever he got there, he saw a man was sitting in his seat, and he was really upset about that because this man took his bingo seriously. And he got so upset with this man that he went outside, took an ice pick, and slashed his tires with it. This man completely overreacted just because a man was sitting in his seat and went to jail because of it. Hopefully we do not act foolishly like this man did and try and slash people's tires because they're sitting in our seat at church. But we might still deal with anger issues. We should not, if we are wise, we will hold back all of our angry feelings toward those people. We might not slap them or do evil things toward them. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." We should not be angry with all those people who are, or we should not act out on our anger and toward those other people. And later in the Sermon on the Mount, he says we should not retaliate toward those people. We should love our enemies as we love our neighbor. And so we do not need to retaliate, but love them as Jesus did. And he did not do these things. So what do you do? Do you act out towards other people? Do you struggle with anger? Whenever people face you and do not agree with your religious viewpoints or do not agree with what you do, do you act mean towards them and speak bad about them behind their back? This is not what Jesus would want us to do. We should work on this and continually start trying to work on our anger, trying to work on our tongue and what we say about others. So these are things that Jesus did not do towards the Pharisees. But what did he do? What do we see in these scriptures that we can see that he did to act towards these Pharisees and how they opposed him? Well, the first thing that he did is he answered them and said things about David. He talked to them and used scripture. And this is the next point, is that he showed them the scriptures readily. He used the example of David because David was also breaking the law by eating this grain, eating this food of the priests. However, David was still considered a hero because of this. He was not looked down upon or even considered sin because of this. And the reason is because he was in need of food. He was hungry. He was running away from Saul in this story. And he was a refugee. But the priests saw them in need and saw that they needed food. So they gave them this food. And his point was God's law will not prevent people from doing kind things for others on the Sabbath. He will not prevent you from being kind to one another. This is not what God's law is about. So the main thing that we can get from this is that Jesus did not rebuke them himself. He used scripture to do it for them. And there are many examples of where people or beings do not rebuke one another, but they use the Lord to rebuke them. They use his word. An example is from Jude verse 9, where Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 2, it says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you." And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, 7, and 10, Jesus uses scripture, uses the Lord, uses what God has said in the past to face Satan, face his adversary, and when he is tempted. So Jesus uses this as an example. He uses these examples that God gives for his reason on why he does things. Are we able to do this to others? Are we able to show others the scriptures readily and show them a reason for why we believe what we believe? Show them a reason why we have this hope in ourselves? Do we know the Bible? Are we well equipped enough? I read a statistic that from a survey in 2013 that only 22% of Americans read their Bible on a regular basis, and the average household in America owns 4.4 Bibles. So this means that people are not reading their Bibles as often as they should be. Even though they have them, they're not, and they say they might love the Bible, but they do not read it. They're not ready to give an account. They do not know it well enough to be able to go to others and show them the way. If someone is challenging your knowledge or challenging what you know about the Bible, will you be ready to give them a reason? Will you be ready to give them an answer? We can either quote it to them, or we can show it to them. If you today you want to learn more about the Bible, you have an opportunity. I'm sure every one of you has a Bible in their home. And if you want to learn how to memorize scripture, you can come to me after this and you can ask me how I memorize scripture or not, because I found a way that I figured out that most people could probably learn how easily. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready to give an account from God's word and not let us rebuke them, but let God rebuke them. And so what else does Jesus do when he is faced against these people who oppose him? What else does he do in this verse? So later on, it says that I see that he lives out the scriptures boldly. He does not just preach a sermon to them, but he lives them out and he shows them an example of how to live out the scriptures. And what he does is he's showing them how to be a true neighbor, even on the Sabbath, and that God would not wants them to be kind to others, even on the Sabbath, and that you cannot use his law as an excuse. And so whenever in math in high school, whenever my teacher would read an example or tell us how to just with her mouth and just read us the instructions on how to solve a problem or an equation, I struggled when she did that or when he did that. However, whenever she gave an example, she worked out the problem on the board and showed me each detail and what operations I must do. I found that way more helpful than her just giving me the instructions. I had an example to go by and so that I could work those problems out myself. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's taking this as a teaching opportunity to show the Pharisees that this is what the Sabbath is really about. We do not use it just as a day of rest, but we need to also help one another. And this is the biggest challenge, is living out the scriptures in our lives, showing others our beliefs by our actions and not just speaking them. So how do we live out the scriptures that we read about? Do we expect people to listen? How do we expect people to listen to us when we talk about the Bible to them or evangelize to them whenever we don't live by the Bible ourselves? And do the people in our workplace look at us and say, that person is a true Christian. They live out what they believe. They do what they want to say. They do what they believe. And they will respect you for that. They will not respect you or Christ, because if you do not try your best to live by what the Bible says. And Jesus is, and if we do this, we will let our light shine to others. We will show others an example. And because of this, others might glorify God because of it. But as we read down in verse 11, it says, "But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." So even though he did these things, even though he didn't treat them badly, and he showed them what God, let the Lord rebuke them, and he even showed them an example of what to do, they did not react right. They did not react the way that he wanted them to. And just as that, other people might not react the way we want them to when we show them a verse in the Bible, when we give them an example in our life of what to do. And they still might be persecuting you. They still might try to peer pressure you. They might pick on you because of this. However, when we do this, when we show them scripture, when we live out these examples, we are putting the ball in their court, because whenever we do this, we are have God on our side. We are doing his will. We are showing them what we must do. And if they oppose us at that point, then they are also opposing God. So an example of this, of how we should live out our lives and how we should live out the scripture. When I think of someone who lives out what they believe in outside the Bible, I think of William Wallace in Braveheart, how he believed and how he wanted so badly to gain independence from England, and how he did everything in his power, everything that he possibly could to do that. He lived and died for what he believed in. So are we willing to live out what we believe in and willing to inspire others by living out our beliefs? So what insights has Jesus given us for dealing with opposition? Well, again, he did not act out towards them. We also should not act out towards others. We should not speak evil about them because they did not agree with us and because they are speaking evil about us. And we also should point out the scriptures. We should let the Lord rebuke them instead of us rebuke them. And also we should show them an example in our lives. Live out what Christ, the example that Christ has set for us so that maybe they too will see that and will also want to do the same thing. So today, if you desire to become a child of God, if you know that you're lost and you want to change your ways, and you want to be with Christ, and you want to have your sins washed away, you have that opportunity to come to God, to repent and turn toward God, and so that you can be saved and become a child of God. So if you do that, you must be baptized, you must put on Christ, you must die to your old self and be raised up a new man who lives for God. And if you are already a child of God and you're already a Christian and you've made mistakes and you are struggling and you want the prayers of the church, you also can come and you can ask for those prayers. If there are any needs today, you may please come forward as we stand and as we sing.